I think in B2B marketing, we are very focused on the logic and the facts and the numbers and the statistics and the metrics. And of course, those are all very important. But I think we don't use enough emotion. We don't use enough personal language and personal connection in B2B marketing. And that's something ActiveCampaign has been trying to do more and more, is a lot of our blog content, we've kind of lowered the language. So we're not using industry jargon. We're trying to kind of appeal to people like you and me.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass. Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. My name is Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice. We're excited to have Jeremy Collier here from ActiveCampaign, content marketing manager for their team. We're big fans of their team. They are a big content marketing engine. We've learned a lot from them, and we love collaborating with them. So I'm excited today to let our listeners, our watchers, learn from Jeremy himself. So Jeremy, welcome to the show. Maybe in your own words, before I ramble too much, give us a little bit in your own words, your background and kind of your path to ActiveCampaign.
Yeah. Thank you. And I'm so excited to be here. Ever since I started working with you guys, The Juice, I just love what you guys do. And I've actually listened to a few episodes of the podcast. I really like the podcast as well. So looking forward to being on here. I took a pretty interesting route to get to marketing in general and ActiveCampaign even more so. So I actually graduated with an English degree with the intention of going into education. My first job out of college was working on education reform for the Malaysian government. They were partnering with a company here in the United States and here in California. And so I was working directly with like a ambassador to the Malaysian government at the time. It was a really interesting job. We were making these educational modules. So that's kind of where my career started. After that, I did go into education. I worked at an after-school program for 2 years, transferred to a different after-school program for another year. And at that point, I just decided education, working in the education field wasn't for me. And I started to think about what else do I want to do? And I've always loved writing ever since I was young. I built websites when I was 16. And as soon as WordPress came out and I was able to learn that, I started really making some really cool websites. So I decided to look into what I can do in that area. And I ended up in digital marketing, worked as a freelancer for a few years. And then in 2021, I'd been working as a freelancer. I worked for a couple of other companies. But 2021, I went back to school, did a digital marketing boot camp at UC Berkeley. And that was just kind of formalizing my education because I graduated with an English degree. I was doing a lot in writing, but not in digital marketing space itself. And the day I graduated, I had been using ActiveCampaign for a side company that I have that's also a digital marketing for storytellers company. And I'd been using ActiveCampaign at that time for, I think, 3 years. And first company I wanted to apply for out of that boot camp was ActiveCampaign. Went on their website, saw that they had a job opening. I applied, and 3 months later, I started. So pretty cool. This is as close to a dream job company as I could have gotten to at the time, that's for sure.
Wow, that's so cool. It is fascinating. The best content marketers we talk to, like, they're not traditionally trained marketers. We always find that correlation. Like, a lot of them are journalists in education. I just talked to Matt Lyman, who's at Lean Data. He was a theater major in college. Like, I hope this doesn't offend any classically trained marketers. I'm one of those. But I think I have the liberty to say this. Like, I think there's so much of, like, you just end up doing what other marketers are doing, right? Where I think sometimes you get the innovation and the, like, breakthrough ideas and the different ideas from people who have really diverse backgrounds. So that's such a cool path. And we'll dig into that more because I think there might be some interesting correlations there. Before we do that, though, we always like to ask all of our guests, it is the Content Cocktail Hour after all. What are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Yeah, so I'll answer that two sides. Well, the alcoholic side is, I live in California. I got wine country to the north of me. I got wine country to the south. Me and my wife, we drink quite a bit of wine. We have some vineyards we go to regularly. So, you know, a good Pinot Noir is my go-to for alcohol. But for non-alcohol, we love coffee and I love sparkling water. And these places have started to put them together, sparkling water with espresso. And I can't get enough of it. I'm telling you, like, I've been to 3 or 4 places here that have started serving those type of drinks. And they're just my favorite go-to coffee nowadays.
Fascinating. It's, you know, they say trends move from the coast inward, and I'm here in the Midwest. Yeah. Haven't seen that yet, but I'm excited to try that as a espresso and coffee lover. myself, and you're just rubbing it in, Devin, wine country.
I know, right? The first time I saw the coffee with sparkling water was less than a year ago, and now it's popped up 3 or 4 places. So it seems to be spreading pretty fast.
Interesting. I'm fascinated. Well, cool. Well, let's jump into the meat of the conversation here. You know, typically I feel like this question I'm about to ask, we kind of build up to during the course of a conversation, but I'm so curious, given your heavy written content, editing, writing background, that's kind of been the first frontier for generative AI as it's become like massively or mass produced, right? Or available to all. You know, as somebody who is this like classically trained writer and somebody who's been spent a lot of their career doing that, what has been your experience kind of seeing it come on the scene? Was there fear there? Was there excitement there? How has that changed since the beginning? Just kind of what's your experience been with the rise of generative AI?
Well, it's been a roller coaster, I'll tell you that. It's only been about a year and a half, a little over a year and a half since ChatGPT went public and for everyone to use and everything. I didn't jump on it right away, but I was watching it. I will admit there was some fear in there for a little bit. And maybe in the future, those who are just maybe lower level copywriters, it's going to replace them. But I don't think AI is going to replace content managers and people who are coming up with the ideas and actually fleshing them out, especially in B2B. I think that B2B is a little bit more of a specialty area that AI is going to have a little harder time really grasping for a few reasons. One, it doesn't have the real-time information. And a lot of times in B2B space, companies can change fast. So for example, if I'm working on something that has to do with pricing of competitors or something like that, I can't rely on ChatGPT or any AI. I have to make sure I go out and do the research on every company, because we're, as B2B people, we're always changing our pricing. Companies are always changing pricing, changing policies, all that stuff. And ChatGPT just can't keep up with that. There's been times where I've really sat there and gone, what's it going to look like in 6 months, a year, 5 years from now for writers? And it always reminds me of, I'm going to go to my nerdy side here a little bit. Always reminds me of a Star Trek episode. I believe it was Star Trek Deep Space Nine, but don't quote me on that. Where they went to a Romulan planet and, not Romulan, I'm not even a big Trekkie, so I'm confusing the names. They went to one of the planets, and all the people on the planet, because of AI, no one does writing anymore. And there's only a few authors left in this planet. And everybody loves these authors. They support them, they buy them, because almost everything is created by AI except for this select little bit. And I think that that's kind of like, that's an extreme version of the future I see. But I think that you're going to start seeing a lot more combination of thought leadership with SEO-focused writing. Mm-hmm. It's going to kind of combine both of those together to create a new type of marketing material that AI can't really generate at this point.
Fascinating. It is. I think that's similar to what my experience has been, is like kind of the roller coaster, right? First, like, oh, this could be really big. And then kind of realizing, well, it's actually, I feel like it's actually, if anything, widening the gulf between human created content, like really quality human created content, and like SEO driven or like, you know, very like turnkey content. It's almost like widening the gulf between the two as opposed to making them the same. It's been very interesting. I think it's going to keep evolving, which you highlighted as well. Are you using generative AI at all in your day to day now?
We use it a lot for research, even in the outlining and sometimes in the first draft, depending on what it is. Last year, we actually had a real big push with the previous director of content at ActiCampaign. We had a real big push for listicles, and AI is great at listicles. So this is things like alternatives to MailChimp, alternatives to Content Contact, things like that, kind of targeting our competitors, but also other spaces too, like best CRMs, things like that. And we actually embraced AI for that. We, of course, didn't just generate it and put it out there. We edited it heavily and all that stuff. But all of our first drafts on that series were done with AI. And that's something that we were very upfront with. We shared it on social, talked about it a lot. And it was a good experiment that in the end showed us how far AI has to come before it can really be high quality SEO, super optimized content. But it was a good project to kind of get a lot of content out fast. So we don't do that anymore. We don't do it for full drafts or anything like that. But we definitely embrace it for, like I said, research and outlining.
That's fascinating. We still have a lot to learn ourselves. Same thing. We have used it more as a operational efficiency than like a creative tool, right? And I think we're still kind of finding the sweet spot between, okay, you know, podcast transcripts, I always think, are such a great example of kind of where there's some efficiencies gained, but you're not asking it to create from scratch, or you're not delivering at least what it creates from scratch. So that's really interesting. So you mentioned kind of your guys' process there, you know, outlining, writing, editing, publishing. I'm curious, not so much about the strategy, but at an organization at the size of ActiveCampaign, what is the content marketing process that you all go through? Like, what's kind of the life cycle? Like, where do you start? And then where, like, what's the beginning to end kind of content production life cycle? And then how do you think about distribution on the other end?
Yeah, it's changed a lot over the last couple of years. We've had multiple directors, you know, and when the new director comes in, of course, they change it to be their own way. And there's always, you know, the pros and cons in that. You get this part that's better and then this part that's not working quite as well. So our current director is much more hands-on, wants to be involved in the process. And that's a great thing because more feedback, you know, someone who's been in the space. And so the ideas come down from above, from our CMO, from our CEO, down to the director of content. And then that kind of gets distributed during our team meetings. And that's how it's been happening since the new director started. And from there, it's just a matter of we do outlines, you know, all the standard stuff, outlines, first draft, second draft, then get it up on the website. It's a slower process than in the past, but it's also a more robust process that leads to better content. So it's working out pretty well. In terms of distribution and all of that, we have a social media team and our email team we work closely with. And again, it's changing right now in how we do everything with our content. And that includes social and email. And so the distribution process is if it's big enough to go out to our email, we push it pretty hard there, but mostly it's just social media and word of mouth for distribution.
Very interesting. You mentioned earlier, you've listened to some previous episodes of the Content Cocktail Hour, and you've caught a few of the times where I've admittedly said, I am not an SEO expert. You could put an SEO dunce cap on me and sit me in the corner when it comes to all things SEO. I'm curious, you mentioned that's maybe an area you have spent some time in. Where's it going? Again, another space that AI is kind of disrupting. I'm seeing stats like 70% of Google searches end without a click because the snippets have become so usable. Are you responsible for SEO in your current role? If so, like, how are you kind of adjusting in real time to what's happening? And do you have any hypotheses on where this is all going?
Yeah, well, during most of my time here at ActiveCampaign so far, I have been either in charge of or next to the person in charge of SEO. Right now, not as much. I still do a lot of content optimization, but I'm not involved in the planning itself. I mean, SEO kind of goes along with copywriting with AI. It's kind of like it's not going away. We're not going to see SEO just disappear. SEO isn't dead. Email's not dead. You know, that old, everybody says every few years, email's dead. And now it's been happening with SEO. It's going to change. It already has. OpenAI is talking about their search engine, ChatGPT-based search engine. Google's using snippets, like you said. I think you're going to see more search based on recommendations rather than direct information. I could be wrong about this, but this is just kind of what I'm thinking. So instead of saying big paragraphs like Gemini is doing now on Google, we might see more like one sentence with a link, you know, to learn more. It'll still be less clicks. But I think that SEO is not going away. And like I said, I think with content going the direction that I believe it's going to go into more of a thought leadership SEO mixed area, I think we're going to see more people wanting to click through to hear the opinion rather than just the information. Of course, there's always going to be searches where people just want the data, just want the answer. And those will kind of always just be never leave Google, never leave ChatGPT. But I think we're going to see a lot more of that kind of content that kind of bridges the gap between the two. And people are going to want to read that. Or it could go the other way and search engines will need to evolve to be able to attribute the answers to individual pages. That's the other thing. Google's kind of started doing that, but I don't know. It doesn't translate to visits. And obviously, if you don't click through, you can't see things like CTAs and things like that. So there's a lot that's going to have to be figured out. But I think that search engines are going to have to adapt and content's going to have to adapt to kind of meet in the middle.
I think that's great perspective. I think you're exactly right. Like Google's very good at binary information or any search engines. They're really good at like the binary information, but you know, it's becoming a little bit of a mess if you're looking for information that isn't binary, because sometimes it's like, am I getting the best information or am I getting the person who's the best at SEO for this, right? And then you click in and you're like, this wasn't written for a human, you know, and it's pretty interesting. So I think you're right. The SEO, absolutely, the search engines themselves are going to keep evolving. What I've told a few folks is the behavior of search is not going away. People are always going to be searching for answers. They used to do it in encyclopedias. Now they do it online. Search engines, like people are going to keep searching for things. And I think your perspective of the search engines also evolving is interesting, as opposed to just like the SEO tactics evolving. And I think you're also right that like we as marketers have to continue to evolve with it. And I think that's just classic marketing, right? The technologies we're using, the platforms we're using, always evolving, always dying and not dying, as you outlined. And we just have to keep learning and keep learning alongside of all the changes. So
when it comes to SEO, that is probably the biggest thing in flux right now. And we're trying to figure it out at ActiveCampaign, just like everybody else is. We see 1 month where our numbers just dip for absolutely no reason. And then the next month, and you know, it's like before, it's like you could see seasonality in your numbers with SEO. But now it's just like sometimes you just get a dip for no reason. And you just kind of look and you realize people aren't searching for the keywords. It's the keyword volume that's gone down, not necessarily, you know, your brand awareness or anything. So I think that's something else to be aware of, is when you're looking at the numbers, look at the source of them. Is your keyword profile dipping? Is the keyword volume for your keywords dipping? That's the first thing to look at if you're getting those dips in SEO. And if that's not the answer, then definitely look into content and everything. But like a lot of businesses are talking about that dip based on keyword volume and everything right now.
Reverse engineer the whole process. I like that. You mentioned this a little bit in your intro, but I would not be doing a good job as a podcast host if I didn't ask you about, you were a video game QA person. I feel like every little kid grows up, or when they're little, says, I want to play video games when I grow up. That was your job. I wouldn't be doing a good podcast hosting job if I didn't ask you about playing video games as your profession. Tell us a little bit more about that experience.
Yeah, so I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but this is before YouTube was big and, you know, streamers, there was no real Twitch or anything like that to play video games for a career. And I just kind of lucked into the job. I was 18, I think, at the time, and I applied for the QA job and I didn't think I was going to get it. I got there and there were people that had more experience than me, more professional than me, but I had the knowledge of video games because me and my brother were hardcore gamers growing up. Still are. My brother and me have a huge video game collection. Just video games is just such a core part of our lives. And so when I got that job, I worked on Battlefield 2, the original Battlefield 2. And it was such a great experience. I mean, it was long hours, 10, 11 hour days. One day we were working till 4 a.m. So, I mean, it can be crazy, but it was amazing. So I did work there. I worked on that project for a year. And at that time, EA was great to work for. It was before they got the reputation that they have now. And a few years later, I did go back and work for them again. And unfortunately, it wasn't as great of an experience, but it was still fun. It was still in the video game industry. I got to meet a lot of cool people. I got to meet the vice president of EA, who at the time had some secret tech from Japan for the Nintendo DS that, like, I just read about that again, like maybe 5 years ago, that it was a thing. And so he had this and showed it off and everything. So it was really cool experience. I did work for EA again. Like I said, I worked there on Sims 3 as QA. And then a little bit later, I also worked for Sega of America on one of their racing games. So that was before college, or I should say while I was in college, that was kind of the career path I thought I was going to be in. And like I said, that changed to teaching. I'm a jack of all trades. I've been kind of everywhere.
Well, I think it's really cool. So I will bring that back to kind of the topic of this podcast and everything. I mentioned this earlier. We see all the time content, really great content marketers are traditionally trained marketers. You mentioned your career path kind of into content from the English background. What advice do you have for somebody who's maybe trying to get into marketing or enterprise software or content marketing, or somebody who's just starting down that path and maybe, again, doesn't have the traditional background? What advice would you offer them?
We have such a unique opportunity with the information we have today. We have websites like Udemy, you have tutorials on YouTube, you have like people like Neil Patel and Gary Vee who are putting all their content out for free, or a lot of their content out for free to help teach and learn. Whatever niche you're in, just learn. Just go watch videos, teach yourself everything you can. I don't think going the path of teaching yourself should go above going to a formal education, but kind of parallel it. And also, you can start learning these things when you're young. So like when I was working in education with some of the high school students, a lot of them were interested in digital marketing. And tell them, like, before you even get in college, go watch these videos, you know, research these people, see what they're doing, and, you know, build a website, you know, put content out there, whatever direction you're going to go in, just do it even before you go to college or while you're in college, because you can put all that on your portfolio. By the time I graduated from college, I had writing, a lot of writing on my portfolio. I had a lot of editing. And then by the time I graduated the boot camp, I had a full profile of digital marketing, even though I'd only had one non-freelance digital marketing job. And now I have 5 years of experience. And that is really all thankful to being self-taught rather than anything else. So, you know, just absorb as much as you can. That's my advice.
That's cool. Thanks for sharing that. I love that perspective of it's not one or the other of like the formal education or the self-taught. Because I think sometimes we put those things as adversaries and really they can work together really nicely as well. So that's really cool. I appreciate that. But now I'm gonna ask you the tough question that's maybe opposite of that. We always ask all of our guests, what is one unpopular opinion you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
I love this question. And it kind of goes with what I was talking about earlier with content and melding the world of SEO optimized versus thought leadership. And I think in B2B marketing, we are very focused on the logic and the facts and the numbers and the statistics and the metrics. And of course, those are all very important, but I think we don't use enough emotion. We don't use enough personal language and personal connection in B2B marketing. And that's something ActiveCampaign has been trying to do more and more is a lot of our blog content, we've kind of lowered the language. So we're not using industry jargon. We're trying to kind of appeal to people like you and me, people who are in the space, but maybe not necessarily care about hearing about all the terms or not knowing all the terms. But also, we want to help people who are just starting. And so we're trying to, you know, bring more emotion into it. And I think that's something that more companies should do, connect with their B2B customers. Because, you know, classically, B2B is very, I don't know the word for it, but very straightforward and kind of, you know, just you got to put your suit and tie on. I mean, you know, not luckily or thankfully, that's changed a lot. But my first job in digital marketing was like that. We had to be very like, there had to be two statistics in the first paragraph kind of thing. Like the CEO of that company was very specific about all that. We couldn't use the word you. We couldn't use the word us, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so that's changed a lot. And with ActiveCampaign, it's changed. I think it's changing even more. With the new director, he's actually fully on board with this. Some of them are more technical pages. We're kind of bringing the language down a little bit just so it's a little bit more consumable. And I'm all on board for it because when I was learning, when I was going through this, those were the best ones. The pieces that I felt like, even if I didn't know anything, I came out of there understanding what I read. And I think that's it. Yeah, we're just in B2B, we're just too focused on logic and facts.
That's so cool. I think that's great advice. It reminds me a little bit, we recorded an episode recently with Jeff Reekers of Champion that does customer marketing. And he had some advice too that was create content for the customer and not the company, which I think is just like such subtle but important. Like write your content for the person doing the job, not for the company that you want to buy your software. And I think that's like so subtle but so powerful. Like, yes, you're writing to somebody sitting at their computer trying to solve a problem or figure out how to do something or answer a question they have. Like we, myself included, lose sight of that, I think, all too often. So I think that's really good advice. And it's cool to hear ActiveCampaign is doing that as well. Kudos to you all.
Yeah, it's been a change from previous jobs. But like I said, I have a side company where I write my own content. I've always talked directly to the people. Now, it's a little different because I'm talking to like fiction writers and things like that. So it's a little bit, you know, less formal. But I've always believed in like just having a conversation, kind of like this podcast. You know, there's podcasts that are very formal and then there's podcasts that are very conversational. And I believe conversational content, even in the B2B space, is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jeremy, that's great advice. If people would like to learn more from you or about ActiveCampaign, what's the best way to do that?
Well, ActiveCampaign.com is for everything ActiveCampaign. There's so much on there. You can learn all about marketing, email marketing, automation, pretty much anything marketing. We put out a lot of content over the last, since I've started there, we've put a lot of content. Recently, we delved into talking about educational platforms like online courses and things like that. We're currently talking about franchises and multi-location businesses. So we're going to be hitting a lot of that on our blog and everything. For me, jeremycollier.com, you can find everything about me personally. I do a lot. Like I said, I'm a jack of all trades. I'm everywhere. So that's the best place to learn more about me.
I love that. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us today. To all of our watchers and listeners, thank you for joining another episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, cheers. Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com.
See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.